Luke 1 and verse 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the were the first were witnesses, eyewitnesses, and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seems good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Quickly turn over, if you would, to the page, to verse 46 of chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me." Hallelujah. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation, for he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Amen. Praise God for his word to us this morning. Over many years, I've been blessed to sit under some great men of faith, maybe even some would say the heavyweights of the Christian faith. Sometimes preparations for them coming to a particular area can take weeks and months, with letters going out to all the churches and conferences arranged before these individuals come. I remember, however, a few years ago, I sat under the ministry of a very small, unassuming man. He had grey hair. That's not knocking those of you who've got grey hair, by the way. You know I'm jealous of all of you with hair. He wore just a simple shirt and tie. He arrived on the stage with no great fanfare. He had a word of prayer, and then he just began to teach. There was nothing flashy, nothing bombastic about his style or his delivery in any way. He had no illustrations that left you with the impression of the man. But there was real power, real depth in what he was teaching. And when the sermon came to an end, you realized that you'd sat under the ministry of a man who knew God and walked with Jesus. The Gospel of Luke is like that. When we first come to Luke's gospel, you don't find it to be dramatically theological as Paul's writings. You don't find it to be dramatically emotional as Peter often was. You don't find the gospel as dramatically apologetic like John. And you don't find the gospel as fast-paced as the book of Mark. But what you find is a man who sets out to tell a very complete and a very accurate account of Jesus. Luke speaks all about Jesus. After we've gone through this book together, I hope and I pray that we realize that we have been in the presence of something very special and very sacred. You get a sense straight away from the book that it's not shallow, but it is very deep. And I pray that this book will impact each and every one of our lives. And when we've gone through the whole of this journey and we reflect back sometime in November as we come to an end, because that's when we'll be finishing it, we would have discovered that this book again has impacted and changed our lives. Luke is one of the three New Testament books that we've been given that are very similar in material in many ways, in the sense of they present to us the truth concerning the life of the Lord Jesus. The other two being Matthew and Mark. But of the three books that portray the life of the Lord Jesus, the Gospel of Luke is more graphic. It's more thorough in its detail about him. So much so, William Barclay said on one occasion that there was a man, James Tenney, who's a Scottish theologian in the late 1800s. And someone once came up to him and said, could you recommend to me a really, really good study book on the life of Jesus? And William Barclay says that Mr. Tenney just simply looked at the man and replied, have you tried reading the book of Luke? No other gospel writer has such an eye for detail. No other gospel writer went to the depths, to the level to research the truth about Jesus. Luke was a man of real scholarship, of real depth, but also of real spirituality. And so over the next couple of weeks and months, and for those of you who are visiting us this morning, I'm so sorry that you're just getting a little smorgasbord, a little taste of what it is to come. But God willing, over the next weeks and months together, we will journey through this amazing story as we look at this incredible document that tells us all about Jesus. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us in that, shall we? Father, we praise and thank you in Jesus' precious name for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that you have preserved your word for us, so that we can learn, so that we can be taught, so that we can expound, so that we can study all the truth concerning yourself, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the way of salvation. And so, Lord, as we begin to consider this book together, at the beginning of a new year, we do pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give us much needed understanding, that you would open our hearts and minds and eyes to see Jesus, maybe in ways that we've not seen him before. And so, Father, I pray that the words I would speak and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our Lord, Redeemer, and our God. Amen. Amen. So today is going to be that introduction into the book of Luke. It was back in 1902 when Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem. He said these simple words. He said, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And so as ever to introduce this book, as I always do when I begin a new book together, we're going to ask a series of questions this morning that will hopefully help us to begin to understand, will hopefully give us the key to unlock this book and give us a greater understanding. And so let us look at these where's, the why's and the what's and the who's. First of all, why study the book of Luke? Simply because this is your chance. Because we've studied so many of these before and I've said exactly the same thing. Why study the book of Luke? Because it's God's word. It is the inspired word of God. And so it beholds each and every one of us to go through systematically the word of God. Even Jeremiah. I'm still getting complaints about it, by the way. And we've finished it. Simply because it is one of those 66 inspired books that God has given to man. In many ways, this is the only reason why we should do it. The fact that Luke is an inspired book of God is easily proven. There has been so many manuscripts which have been preserved down through the years, hundreds and hundreds of years, that contain Luke's gospel. God has faithfully watched it. Whether it's the Chester Beatty Papyri of AD 250, or whether it's the Bodmer Papyri of AD 175, whether it's the manuscripts that were found, the Codex Vaticans, which were actually found in AD 312, whether it's some of the earliest manuscripts which were found only in the 1800s, but are traced all the way back to the 3rd century, whether it's any of all these, can I tell you, there are hundreds and hundreds of documents, of manuscripts, that evidence that Luke is part of the Word of God. He is one of the inspired books of God. Luke is cited as belonging in the Word of God by all the key individuals of the early church, whether that's Justin Martyr, whether that's Clement of Alexandria, whether that's Tertullian, Jerome, Augustine, Eusebius, all of them. And all the church councils agreed together at the canonization of the Bible. When they formulated it all together, they decided and they agreed that Luke was part of the Word of God. Whether that was Nicaea, whether that was Carthage, whether that was the second Carthage, or whether that was the Council of Hippo, they all agreed. And so I'm convinced of this, that when our life is over and we will discover that the best use of our time has been found in studying the Word of God, praise God for some of you who are clever and read books. I was very, very jealous by Naomi the other day, when she reported how many books they were returning back to the library as a family. How many was it, Naomi? 15. 15 books that they'd read. Praise God if you're a bookworm. I'm a bit of a film buff myself. But whatever it is, whatever it's a book, whether it's a film, whether it's a play, whatever it is, nothing that we can ever do in those areas will ever change our lives like the Word of God. And so when we come to the end of our life together, the fact that the Word of God is eternal, even though the flowers will fade away and the grass will be burnt up, the Word of God will last forever. And so it behoves us to spend time studying his word. Another reason to actually study Luke is because Luke is the most detailed account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've already alluded to this morning. Of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even to some of the letters that reflect on Jesus' life and teaching, Luke gives the most detailed account of all. Luke covers more history about Christ's life. He uses more new words to describe it than any other writer. And he tells more parables and gives more of the Lord Jesus' teachings than any of them. That's why we've called this series All About Jesus, because Luke is all about him. Thirdly, because as disciples of Jesus, we are to be like him. We are to develop a mindset that reflects him in every aspect of our life. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, your attitude should be like this, as the same as that of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be like Jesus Christ if we don't know more about him? If we don't know enough of him? Also, there are times that we're going to have to suffer like Jesus Christ. And so to reflect on how he suffered will be a tremendous help to us. Philippians 1 verse 29 says, for it is being granted to you on behalf of Christ Jesus, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. If we're going to suffer for him, and let me tell you, things are going to get more difficult for us as believers in the days ahead. Did you see that dear woman who was arrested the other day for praying quietly in her head, doing nothing else. Now, I know there was laws around why she should be there and shouldn't be there. But all she was doing, standing and praying, and the police came and arrested her. Folks, it's going to become more and more difficult for us as believers, and we are going to suffer for the faith, just as our brothers and sisters throughout the world are suffering for their faith. So we need to know how Jesus suffered so that we can look to him. If we're to follow Jesus as well, we're going to find that we're going to go through difficulties and hardships. 1 Peter 21 says, "To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you may follow in his footsteps." I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, do you? I want to be like him in every aspect of my life. And so therefore, it does us well to study the book of Luke, because it is the most detailed account of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also because Luke is a book in which we learn about God. In this gospel, we learn that God controls every bit of history, whether that is past, present, or the future. God is in it all. Amen? He's carefully, faithfully watching over his word in order to fulfill it. We learn that God fulfills every prophecy literally, not just figuratively, but literally. We will learn that Jesus Christ is God. And as God, he has the power to save. We will see amazing displays of God's power in Christ Jesus over the universe, over angels, over Satan, and over sin. Do you know that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world? Therefore, you need not fear. When you go through Luke, you will learn much more, not only about God, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, who was Luke? It's interesting that Luke is not actually named in the gospel at all. He's named in three other occasions in the New Testament, but his name is not actually in the gospel. But there is so much that we know about him. Luke was actually a Gentile. He was not a Jew, but he was a Gentile believer in Jesus Christ, which means that he was the only writer of any of the book of the New Testament and Old Testament that was actually a Gentile. Luke would have been known as a Gentile outsider, and so he would have been treated as thus as well in many ways. But Luke also is a book which demonstrates the compassion of the love of God that Luke received himself. I say that because Dr. Schofield said this. He said, "Luke is in many ways the gospel of compassion, stressing as it does the Lord's sympathy for the brokenhearted, the sick, the mistreated, and the bereaved." Maybe because this simple fact that Luke was not only a Gentile, but he was a doctor, some of these things he brings out in his gospel. He had such a tender heart for those who were broken. He had such a tender heart for those who were struggling physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And this is displayed right the way out throughout the book. History tells us that there was two important medical schools when Luke was training. One was in Rome, one was in Tarsus. He must have graduated from one of them. He is known as the beloved physician. And so Luke walked away from a very lucrative career. And the reason being that he'd done that is because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he stopped practicing medicine in order to research the book of Luke and Acts, and also to be a support to missionaries throughout the world, especially the Apostle Paul. The Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts amount to nearly 28% of the New Testament. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So a lot of the New Testament is being written or inspired by the Spirit, but written by Luke. Luke wrote both as a historical work for this one man called Theophilus. Theo meaning God, Philosophus coming from the word philo, lover of God or loved by God. It's interesting that one thing that Luke wanted more than anything else was this man, Theophilus, to know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that should be a passion of our heart, should it not? That those people that we encounter, those people that we know, those the people that we love, should come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and know him. That's what drove Paul. That's what drove Peter. That's what drove all those early disciples, and that is what drove Luke. Luke was also a diligent worker for the things of God. Paul said of Luke that he was a fellow worker with him. Very rare in one sense for a medical doctor who is diligent worker for the things of God. We have known one or two, though, haven't we, by the goodness of God. But Luke was such a man. He was also a highly intelligent scholar as well. As you notice in those opening verses of Luke's gospel, he says that this is what he wants to do, to carefully investigate everything from the beginning. He went back to speak to every single eyewitness. Tell me what you saw about Jesus. Tell me what he did for you. Tell me how he healed you. Tell me of that occasion when you touched, you know, the garment when he walked past. Tell me what it was like for you. And he recorded these accurately. He was very, very intelligent and very scholarly in his presentation of the truth. Luke was also an amazing historian. Luke is the only one who tracks down the information about John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Luke is the only one who tracks down the information about the boyhood life of Jesus Christ. Luke is the only one who tracked down what was actually said by key people concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this is an important thing for us today in our generation. And Luke is the only one who tracks down and records several of the 9 prayers that Jesus prayed. He was a great historian, and he detailed the truth, and he was also a humble servant. Think of it again. Luke wrote 28% of the New Testament, and he doesn't even put his name to one of his books. If it was me, you know, I actually put my name on every email and every text message I send just so that you know it was from me. Every blessing, Phil, all of them say. See the humility of Luke? He didn't even put his name to it. He wanted all the glory to go to God. Luke was also a deep theologian. No question about it. The Apostle Paul had a profound effect on Luke's life. He spent many, many hours with him. Luke is called the gospel written to the Gentiles. And so in his life, in spending time with Paul, the theology and the doctrine and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ were instilled in him. So as he writes this accurate historical account of Jesus, he instills the doctrine and the truth about him right the way through it as well. How do we know the book was written by Luke? Well, 4 very simple ways. The testimony of the early writers. As early as AD 100, it was presumed that these writings were preserved. Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Tertullian, Origen, Eusebius, and Jerome all testified that this was a book that was written by Luke. There's only one objection that actually came out that someone once said is, surely if it was written by Luke, who had who was influenced so much by the Apostle Paul, then there would be much more of a Pauline style to it. But no, not necessarily. Luke was a man who knew his own mind, and he was a man who was used by God. You know, God uses that which we have, that which we are prepared to offer to bring to the table for him to use. Luke was one of them. And God used him to write this incredible book. Another way of knowing and understanding why it was written by Luke is because of the language that the book uses. It has a very high level of Greek. Now, we won't understand this. It's only those who are scholarly who can teach us these things and help us to understand. But he keeps a teacher reaching for a lectionary. Whenever you study certain words, for those of us who preach, we do word studies and say, well, what does that mean in the context of that passage? And Luke is one of those writers that I have to reach for my lexicon that many times. What did he mean by that? He was a medical doctor. And as a result, he had a tremendous vocabulary and a tremendous skill. And so his language helps us understand that it was him. And the similarities between Luke and Acts as well. Only Luke could have written Acts, which is proved by the many "we" sections that he puts within it. And again, Luke wrote Acts for Theophilus, as he did in here. And finally as well, the medical interests that Luke wrote about is a clear indication that it was Luke. Luke was very interested in the medical things. He was interested in the intensity of the fever of the man. He was interested in the degree of leprosy. He just doesn't say the man was a leper. He puts into the detail of why he was suffering and the effects of leprosy. He's interested in the specific hand that was withered. It wasn't just a hand. It was the... which hand was it? I'll let you find that one out. The right hand? I think it was the right hand, you're right. Luke 6, 6. He was interested in the specific ear that was cut off as well. In other words, his medical training and all that was about him is indicated, is an illustration that it was Luke who actually wrote this particular book. Oh, I've gone backwards, sorry. Don't know how I've done that one. When did Luke write it? Well, we're not sure against these dates. We can only surmise when it was. We do know this, that he finished the book before Nero's persecution. He finished the book of Acts before Nero's persecution, somewhere around AD 64 or prior to that date. We also know that Luke meets Paul in Acts 16 in Philippi, and that was around about AD 51, 52. And so from all these things, we can conjecture that it was written somewhere around about the date of, certainly before AD 58. More than likely during the 6-year period of gap, once he'd met Paul and he'd been taught by Paul and he moved away before he came back and met him again, there was a 6-year period, and more than likely historians actually suggest that he wrote it in that period of time. But what we do know from that is simply this, is that the Word of God is not something that is done and written overnight. It takes time, it takes energy, and Luke kept researching and writing. And as a result of his faithfulness to God's faithfulness to him, we have a tremendously accurate account of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the truth of him. Why did Luke write it? The time when Luke wrote his gospel, there was no other accounts about the teachings and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ except one, and that was the writings of Matthew. Matthew, who had written his book from a Jewish perspective, looking at how Jesus fulfilled the king to becoming the king of the Jews. John's gospel wasn't written, and nor was Mark's. And so he sought to put together an accurate correct account of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke was writing his entire gospel also to establish this man called Theophilus in the faith. In one sense, and a bit of conjecture here, a bit of philosophy here, but in one sense, I'd also suggest, almost suggest to you that Luke wrote it just for the man Theophilus. That was in his head. He just wanted to so influence this man for Jesus that he spent the time to research accurately the truth of Jesus. Folks, can I say just simply this, and I mean this lovingly to each and every one of us, but how much time do we spend to accurately present the truth to those that we love? This man spent hours, days, weeks, years researching under the inspiration of God. He didn't know he was writing the word of God, did he? All he was doing it for was for this man, Theophilus, so that he could present the truth of Jesus. It was also for historical reasons, and there were some very, very practical reasons as well. He wanted people to know about Jesus. He wanted people to know about the program of God. Can I just say to us, just in passing here, and this is something as a sideline, we often give away Mark's gospel because it's fast-paced. We often give away John's gospel because of John 3:16. Do you know the best gospel to give away? Is Luke. One, because it's written by a Gentile believer. It comes from a Gentile perspective, but also it is the most accurate about truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the theme, finally? I keep doing that. What is the theme of Luke? Simply this. It is all about Jesus. Is it all about what Jesus said, what he did, what he taught, how he lived, how he died, how he rose again, and how he is coming back? And so I want us to get ready for this incredible journey together. Get ready to have your mind stretched and your faith developed as we go through this trip. Get ready for your soul to be exulting in the Lord and for your spirit to rejoice in God, your Savior. For that's what Mary did. At the revelation of the truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what she did? My soul exalts in the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Why? We'll turn back, if you would, to those things. Because he has been mindful of me. We should exult in God this new year. We should rejoice in our spirit in all that we have. Why? Because God has been mindful of you. And he has extended mercy to you and grace to you. And he has fulfilled his promises that he said for you. And all of it is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And that is why the motto for this year is simply that our souls should glorify the Lord and our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior. I'd love to make sure that you take one of these home with you today so that as we go through this series together, we can reflect on that simple truth. On the simple truth that God has been merciful to generation after generation towards those who fear him. And so, our soul will exult in him and our spirits rejoice in our Savior together as we journey through this incredible book. I'm looking forward to it, are you? May the Lord help us and bless us in it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your wonderful truth. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your servant, Luke. But more than that, Father, we praise and thank you for your faithfulness to him, how you watched over him, how you gave him all those tools and the giftings that he could write this such an accurate account. And we thank you, Lord, that we are living in days where your word is being fulfilled. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for it. Help us, Lord, as your people, to exalt in all that we have in him. Help our souls to rejoice, our spirits to be thankful for all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. To you be the praise and the glory. Amen.